I mean, I don't know. Do you want to
wrap
about
this on a high?
I mean,
note?
I wasn't around because I went to the gathering, but you don't need to hear all those dumb stories. But you
who was
hear,
it? Was Jim Norton? All right?
Yeah, the comics were Jim Norton. There was a guy named Dante Nero, who was a good guy, but he wasn't famous, and
I'm not familiar with him.
He did a podcast for a long time with Patrice O'Neill.
Oh, okay.
And he was his partner. And there's a big controversy about some people had ripped off Dante and Patrice O'Neill and made like their own YouTube videos.
Oh, I saw
that. Do you know
that
controversy?
I saw there was a guy that was like,
that's Dante Nero. Yeah, that's Dante. And I wish maybe I'll get Dante on the show because we exchanged numbers and stuff.
Well,
and
so
Dante,
he was doing Patrice's stuff. And then
some young white guy was doing Patrice's stuff.
Oh.
But it was,
there was a black guy I saw that was doing Patrice's stuff.
Okay, maybe it's
said,
a black guy. I forget if it was a white guy.
And then
but it's a young guy who was doing Patrice's stuff.
And then he was like, well, I'm doing that as a tribute.
Yeah, yeah, that's the whole story.
That was
story.
His attempt.
Yeah, Dante gave me the whole story, and it's too long to, but it was on Huffington Post, and I guess it got a lot of play. But Dante's the guy that's sort of responsible for that. He's going after these guys for ripping off Patrice.
Well, good for him.
Because he was Patrice's partner in a long time. I mean, he was a good comic, but you know, he wasn't a huge draw there. Then we had Jim Norton, who was probably the biggest draw of the weekend.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, if you've heard Jim, that's what he did. It was very funny. Jim came in. Well, first of all, Jim shows up. He gets out of his car, and he's got a driver.
Yeah.
And maybe you don't know who this guy is, but I look at him. He goes, "Hey, I'm Ken." And I look right at him, and I go, "Well, you're fucking Club Soda Kenny." And he's like, "Yeah." Do you know who Club Soda Kenny is? Do you remember Club Soda? Club Soda Kenny was like Dice's security guy in like the heyday of Dice. Because Kenny would go on like Stern with Dice.
Right.
And they'd always do shtick about, he'd always do shtick with Club Soda.
Okay.
And he was a guy, I guess he ended up doing stand-up eventually, but you know, he's like an ex-cop. He's a real serious, like, big dude, you know?
Dice always has some guy like, this is Boomer.
Yeah, everybody's got a nickname.
Club Soda Kenny.
Yeah, so he had Club Soda Kenny
wheels.
With him.
Now he's got
wheels and Club Soda Kenny. So Club Soda Kenny is driving Jim, and I go, okay, cool. Club Soda Kenny's here. That's cool.
This is my driver, Werner.
Yeah.
Thank you, Dice Man. It is a pleasure to drive for you. Even though I am not American native, I've learned how to drive in your country.
Yes.
By obeying the stop signs.
So Club Soda Kenny's there, and you know he was all right. I mean, like, not the Club Soda Kenny's a barrel of laughs, but I was honored to meet him because I know he knows where the bodies are buried. You know, that's why Jim's working with him.
No, I mean that's a guy that would be interesting to talk to.
Right? Yeah. So you know he's seen it all and stuff. So he was driving Jim around, and Jim came in. I put them both on a golf cart, drove them around. We watched some of Twisted Set.
Mm-hmm.
And then we went up and did the show, and it was very funny. He killed, and then he had to fly out early in the morning. But Jim had a great show. So it was cool hanging out with Jim. And then the next night, we had Charlie Murphy, brother of Eddie.
Yeah.
And apparently, the Gallagher 2 of Eddie Murphy, almost. It's sort of like, but Charlie came in, and here's Charlie's thing, because here's the one thing that was kind of odd with Charlie, I'll be honest with you. I get, like, there's boxes and boxes of Charlie Murphy merchandise that we're supposed to sell for Charlie, okay? But there's like no, like, I run this tent where the comedy is, but there's nowhere to sell merchandise. Mm-hmm. We're not set up. We have a merchandise tent, but it's on the other side of the festival. It's not there, but we're supposed to sell it there. There's supposed to be a VIP area if you buy merchandise for Charlie Murphy.
Yeah.
And I'm like, well, maybe he's bringing a guy to do it. And they're like, no, he's not bringing a guy. You have to get a guy. So we had to get one of the merch sellers to come set up a makeshift merchandise stand.
Well, that is maybe something you would think that they would have as a merch table at the comedy table.
It's just not set up that way. If you go there, you would realize this isn't really where you want to sell merchandise. But anyway, so he does this whole thing. So I go, and my point, and that wasn't against his merchandise, but it literally was like six items. It was a giant list of shit. But anyway, my point was that
he was selling like pacifiers and barbecue sauce.
I'll tell you exactly what it was. It was books. He has a book that he wrote. There were DVDs, T-shirts, 8x10 photos, and maybe CDs. I'm trying to remember. It was a lot of stuff. But my feeling was like, okay, so Eddie,
Charlie Murphy's thong.
So Charlie's going to show
Who
up.
Who wants a thong?
So my feeling is Charlie's going to show up and be a giant pain in the ass. That's what I'm thinking. The whole time I'm waiting for Charlie to show up. Charlie's going to show up and be a big pain in the ass. So he shows up. He's got an opener with him, a guy named Freeze Love, who was a nice guy. And I say to Charlie,
Freeze Love.
I go, Charlie, I'm here to,
isn't that an interesting concept?
Thanks, yeah, it's very, Verdi, Verdi's very,
if only we could freeze love and keep it forever in its icy prison, only to be thawed out in times of crisis.
Yeah. So I say to Charlie, I go, You just there's no opportunity to not do Werner Herzog. Everything goes back. So I said, okay, Charlie. He shows up. I go, Charlie, what can I get? And I don't think he's gonna care that I tell the story. So Charlie, what
he's not gonna hear it.
I go, Charlie, what can I get you? And he goes, you can get me weed. So I go, all right. So I grab a couple kids from inside. I go, look, Charlie Murphy needs weed. Yeah. Goes, you got weed? Goes, Charlie. So next thing you know, Charlie's surrounded by a bunch of kids with weed. Yeah. All right. And Charlie goes, does a show. Freeze Love opens. And Freeze Love was in House Party 3. I forget what his role it was.
Wow,
really? He somehow had some role in House Party 3 that you're supposed to know. And he was on Mr. Show doing something. And I don't know what he did.
House
but that
Party
was,
3 was inferior to House Party 2.
Well, which one did Werner direct? Which one did you direct, Werner?
House Party 2, Pajama Jam and Jam.
Yeah, that was yours.
This was a fine film. I was proud to be associated.
And so the show ends. And Charlie's in the. We go back to the trailer.
Martin Lawrence was a total diva when we made the film.
Oh, was he really? Yes. Oh, I didn't realize.
It's very difficult to work with.
Sorry to hear that.
His artistic standards were very demanding.
So Charlie. So anyway, I'm in the trailer. I'm settling up with Charlie, and the show's over. He had a nice show. I mean, you know, he smoked a lot of kids' bongs on stage. That was pretty much the show. And I didn't even hear.
That was the show.
I didn't even hear as much of the show as I wanted to because I was setting up for something else. But anyway, so the show's over, and Charlie goes, "Look, and he's got like his driver, who was just some limo driver, and he goes, "Look, I can't smoke it. I'm staying at a hotel in Evansville, Indiana." He goes, "I can't smoke at the hotel, so are you okay if I just sit in here and smoke?"
Mm-hmm.
And I go, "Yeah." And he pulls out bags and bags of pot that like kids have given him. And him and Freeze Love proceeded to just roll up joint after joint.
Wow.
And the three of us sat in that trailer and got so fucking high.
I can't imagine.
For like an hour.
Once you tell the story, but go ahead.
Yeah, no, it was great. Charlie just wanted to fucking smoke all his weed. And we sat in a trailer for an hour and laughed our asses off.
So,
and it was a lot of fun. So I had a great time.
Charlie Murphy was on Fox 2 a couple weeks ago because he was in town playing the Comedy Zone.
Yeah.
And I talked to him for like a set. You know, I didn't get a lot of. Charlie's got a lot of guys around him.
Yeah.
Like, you know, much like Dice.
Maybe Freeze Love was there. I'm not sure.
Yeah, probably Freeze Love was there. Yeah. And he had a bunch of guys around him. So I talked to Charlie for like a second.
Yeah.
But he seemed a little out of it.
He's probably
he seemed a little spacey. And then his interview was kind of.
Was it weird?
His interview was weird.
Yeah, he was funny,
and then,
though.
And then DC Curry was in like 2 weeks after Charlie was there.
Yeah.
And the host was like reading the list of people that had been on that couch. They were changing the set.
Oh, my goodness.
And they were getting rid of the couch.
Yeah.
So he was like, well, you know, he's like, DC, you're like the last guy on this couch with like, you know, he listed all these people.
Yeah.
And he's like, you know, Charlie Murphy. Or he's like, all these famous people have been on this couch, DC. Yeah. Charlie Murphy, and he goes, "Is Charlie Murphy famous?" And I thought that was funny. I thought that was the greatest line.
Nah, he was funny. He was real funny to hang out with. I had a good time with Charlie and Freeze Love. Those guys were cool. So, that was fun. And then the sad thing at the gathering, which you know, as you would imagine, the eternal sadness that hangs over the place, was a guy who's really one of the nicest guys in the world, and a friend of mine. I'm proud to call him my friend. A guy named Necro Butcher. I wasn't trying to do a comedy bit out of that, but Dylan Summers, also known as Necro Butcher, there was a.
All right,
Werner, tell us about Necro Butcher.
Well,
tell us about
Necro Butcher. Reminds me of the early work of the incredible Charlie. I have never seen such a stark artist since Stan Brakhage.
Yeah.
He is incredible, the Necro Butcher.
Yes.
The way he can both butcher and necro. He does this with incredible flair.
So the Necro Butcher, they were doing a match. It was a no-rope lumberjack weapons match where Necro Butcher was taking on JCW legend The Rude Boy.
Oh!
Who's my friend as well.
I'm not a fan of his work.
You're not a fan of Rude Boy, Werner?
No, Rude Boy is a piece of shit.
Was he not nice to you?
Well, he was, in fact, a rude boy.
Was he rude to you?
He actually lived up to... strangely enough, he lived up to his appellation and was, in fact, rude.
But he wasn't that young, I'm guessing. He was probably a little...
He was a rude old man. And I find
Rude Boy is 42.
Well,
years
the
old.
Necro Butcher has the soul of a poet. The Rude Boy is slightly unfortunate in his presentation.
Now, Rudy, first of all, Rudy's the shit. Rudy's my friend, man. I don't want him to hear this and think I'm dissing him. Rude Boy's my buddy and a good
you're
friend.
You're not dissing
of mine.
Him. I'm dissing him.
No, Werner Herzog is dissing
Rudy,
him.
Rudy, you're a pile of shit.
No, Rudy's great. Rudy's. I'm going to have Rudy in here one day. Rudy's
oh,
fun, yeah.
Boy. Well,
he's
you
from Detroit.
Have that
he's
fun.
From the Southwest side. We love Rudy. But anyway, so they're doing this match. And if you know, even if you don't know wrestling, if you saw the movie The Wrestler, the guy who gives Mickey Rourke the heart attack in that movie is Necro Butcher, just so okay. You know. So he played himself basically in that movie and did a good job. But anyway, they're doing this match, and it was like, you know, Necro Butcher gets pulled off. He has a really long beard, like a Duck Dynasty kind of beard. And Rude Boy pulls him by his beard. He goes off the ring apron and through a steel chair. And his leg hits this chair. And it makes this terrible noise, and I'm up on the ramp with DJ Clay, who's playing the music, and I'm ring announcing. I'm there to announce the winner, and I turn to him and I go, "That was a loud noise, and I don't think that was just the chair breaking." And sure enough, he rolls back in the ring, and immediately says, pin me, whatever," and he gets pinned, and you can see that his leg is clearly broken, and there's blood gushing out of his calf, so the bone has pierced his skin.
That's unfortunate.
Yeah, and blood is pouring out. And I immediately ran to the back and called for the EMTs. But the thing about it, Necro Butcher's like the toughest guy.
Yeah.
And he had to be like carried out of the ring and put on a board and like restrained and then put on like a chopper to get him out of the gathering because he fucked up his leg that bad. So
really?
Yeah, so we are raising money for Necro Butcher. There's actually a I'll link to it on the if you read the description on joelradio.net, go over there and I'll put a link to where you can send money to Necro Butcher. I think he's looking. His wife is trying to raise about $2,500 for his medical expenses.
That's a pretty nasty. I mean, and obviously as a wrestler, he's going to probably need that.
Right,
leg.
And he had like what I heard is he had tours of Japan lined up where he was going to get paid really good money, and he's not going to be able to do those because of his leg. So he's really out a lot of dough. So we're trying to raise money to cover Necro's broken leg. It was really sad, and he was backstage, and the whole show had to stop because no one could get in and out of the ring, because of him being in. And I just looked at him, and I'll be honest, man, I was like crying. It was sad, dude. It was sad watching a guy, the toughest guy I've ever seen wrestle.
There is no reason for tears.
No,
he is a butcher and a necrotic butcher athlete. He stalks the cemeteries.
Oh.
To find Kadavis.
Oh, no, I think that's just a professional wrestling gimmick.
No, no, it's true.
It is a professional wrestling.
This is honest to God. No, it's... I know that Jimmy Superfly Snooker was, in fact, a chieftain.
Was he really?
On the Samoan Islands.
Oh, I didn't realize that.
Yes, and he lived in deep in the jungles and subsisted only on raw fish and coconuts.
Are you telling me that Shane Hurricane Helms is actually a superhero?
Yes.
Because he was there as well. No, he is?
He has a heightened superhuman.
I didn't realize
his
that.
Metabolism is
really?
Very
okay.
It's like a mongoose.
Because he was there
fast,
and
he is resistant to many poisons.
Yeah, so that was very sad what happened to Necro Butcher. I felt bad.
Did you know that the Moondoggy is also
the Moondogs,
a feral hillbilly
I didn't realize
from
that.
From Appalachia. And he killed the bear with his own hands. That is why he's called the Moondoggy, because his family has a history of lycanthropy.
Well, there's multiple Moondogs. There are multiple Moondogs.
Oh, well, it's like...
Rex and Spot, and then I think there was another, like a third Moondog.
Well, lycanthropes travel together in a pack, like wolves.
Oh, good.
Yes, they're like wolves in a pack, right. And they travel together.
All right, well, I think that's enough show. So help Necro Butcher heal his leg and... pay for his medical expenses, because that was bad. And I know a lot of juggalos listen to these shows after the gathering. They want to hear my thoughts.
They want to hear about Werner.
They want to hear Werner Herzog impressions for 90 minutes. But hey, you never know what you're going to get with Joel Radio. So thank you for listening, everybody.
Good
and 610-552-0746 if you want to leave your thoughts and comments. You can also leave a comment on the front page of joelradio.net.
Next week, Jean-Luc Godard will stop by.
Yes,
we'll do impressions of him.
Yes.
And it'll be good.
We're going to have the guy from Man on Wire who walked across. We'll have that fucking Frenchie on.
Thank you.
And he can talk about
I wish I could think of the guy's name.
Yeah, I know. That guy's funny too. That guy talks funny too, but
oh God.